Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Once again, people are arguing about science. Uptake of the HPV vaccine is now at an all-time low in this country, it seems, due to claims that a number of girls have suffered side effects. Multiple scientific bodies, multiple scientific studies in multiple countries have said it's safe. Yet even without any evidence, the worry has been enough to dramatically decrease the uptake of the vaccine. So we're not going to concentrate so much on the vaccine today and the row over it, but rather HPV itself. What is it and how dangerous is it? Imogen Sharkey Ochoa is a PhD student in Trinity and currently she's working on HPV's relationship to head and neck cancers. Imogen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Right, so HPV, what does HPV stand for?
HPV stands for human papillomavirus. And human papillomavirus, HPV, is transmitted by inter-human contact, whether that is sexual contact, would be the main one, essentially. And it's transmitted from person to person. And in the current context, it's most relevant to the development of cervical cancer in girls later on in their lives.
And the commonness of HPV, is it the case that at some point most people will contract it?
Yeah, almost all women will contract the virus at some point in their adult lives. But the majority of these infections actually mean very little to the development of cervical cancer. It's a much smaller percentage of the infections that are actually persistent. So they evade the immune system and they become carcinogenic, e.g., they cause cervical cancer.
Right. Okay. And is there more than one HPV virus? Because it seems like there's a lot of them, but the vaccine protects against four.
Yeah. So there are over 150 different strains of the HPV virus, but there are several of them that are what we call oncogenic, and that essentially means that their relationship to causing cancer is defined in the scientific literature. And the main ones are the four that are protected against with the vaccine, but the central two are HPV 16 and HPV 18, which I guess are the most kind of popularized in the public's knowledge. Mm.
And those two cause 70%?
Yeah, over 70%+ of cervical cancers are related to human papillomavirus direct causally.
Right, that's extraordinary. So in terms of the vaccine, how does the vaccine work? Because, you know, people get the flu jab, but that only seems to last for a certain amount of time. It seems like, is the HPV, does that last someone a lifetime once they've got that jab?
Well, the idea behind vaccines really is that your body has simply two responses to infection. And the first response is when you get the infection the first time. And the vaccine represents that first infection. But obviously, it's not something to be concerned about because when you get the flu jab, you're not expecting to get an enormous flu once you get the jab. But the first response is crucial because it means that the immune system upon a second infection, e.g. an infection that you'd actually get in your day-to-day life, your immune system remembers how to defend itself because it's already been infected once, if that makes sense.
Yes, that does indeed make sense. Now, the cervical cancer, is when people develop cervical cancer, is it among the more treatable cancers or is it tricky to negotiate with?
Well, we have a really good screening program in this country run by Cervical Check, and it works very well in picking up precancers and cancers so that women can be more easily identified at an earlier stage of the disease and have a much better prognosis. But it is a treatable disease, but that's not to say that it doesn't have fatal consequences because, although screening is kind of the complement to preventing the disease coming on in the first place with the vaccine, women still die every single year from cervical cancer. And, you know, with the vaccine, that's entirely preventable.
Now, the work you're doing at the moment, it looks at head and neck cancers connected to the HPV virus. How common is that?
It's quite common. The research regarding HPV's relationship to head and neck cancers has been around since the 1980s. But we're only now starting to get population data across North American and European countries. And the study that I'm conducting is actually the first of its kind in Ireland. So we don't have any of the Irish data yet on head and neck cancers and HPV infection, but we're trying to collect it. Mm. And we do know that there's a relationship, a causal one, much like in the cervix, between HPV and head and neck cancers. And it functions in a similar way, but it also has its nuances. So we're trying to collect the data to, you know, maybe eventually justify the more widespread use of the vaccine, especially for boys, because we know that with head and neck cancers, boys are most at risk of developing HPV-related head and neck cancers.
Right, and from the studies that have been carried out in North America and Europe, what's that telling you about what degree of danger there is?
Sure. Well, if you look at a particular section of the head and neck, which is called the oropharynx, you can see that over time, especially since the late 1980s, there's been an increase in incidence of those cancers. And if you subdivide that data by HPV status, so you say which ones are HPV positive and which ones are HPV negative, you actually see that the incidence in the HPV negative cases is decreasing, but the incidence in the HPV positive ones is increasing.
Okay.
And that's directly from data in the United States that's been collected retrospectively since the late 1980s.
So the HPV virus is responsible for an increasing number of head and neck cancers.
Yeah, that's what we think, especially, you know, from the data in the US and in other European countries. And we, I guess the literature has really expressed the notion that this could be a correlation since the early 1980s. It's just less well known.
Mm. Yeah, because at the moment, it's certainly in Ireland, it's just girls who are getting the HPV vaccine.
Indeed.
Is there anywhere else where boys get it?
There are, I think, one or two European countries where boys are included in a public scheme to administer the vaccine, but it's extremely rare for that to actually happen.
And when we say head and neck cancers, are there, could that be anywhere or the specific parts of that part of the body?
It's specific to the region that's called the oropharynx. And it basically comprises, let's say, the tonsils, the base of tongue, so the back third of your tongue. And that region in the head and neck represents a vulnerability that doesn't actually exist in other parts of the head and neck. And it's very complicated, but put simply, there's something in the cellular organization of the linings of the tonsil and the base of tongue that make the region quite vulnerable to persistent HPV infection that eventually becomes carcinogenic.
Mm. And the vaccine would be a safeguard against that?
Well, we'd hope so. Obviously, the data doesn't exist in the literature to, you know, fundamentally say that that is the case.
Yeah.
But I think it's a logical step. You know, if you're vaccinated against a particular virus or disease, the implication is that it would protect against its persistent infection no matter where it is in the body.
Mm-hmm.
But the data on that doesn't exist yet, and it probably won't exist for the next, you know, 5 to 10 years.
Okay. Now, just to have a look at what the row's about at the moment, do all vaccines have side effects?
All vaccines have side effects, but the side effects of vaccines are pretty, I guess, confined to, you know, a little bit of pain in your arm when you get the needle jab. Some people absolutely hate needles and they end up fainting because they just can't, you know, stand the sight of a needle going into their arm. I am one of those people. I got the HPV vaccine when I was 13 and I absolutely can't stand needles. But, you know, as far as side effects go, you know, vaccines do have side effects, but they're pretty minimal according to the science.
Mm. And well, because presumably when tests are run on vaccines, that's one of the things they're looking for. And presumably there's some sort of threshold past which side effects would be unacceptable.
Definitely. I mean, it would be irresponsible of, companies and governments to, you know, create programs that would administer a vaccine that's a risk to the population. So vaccines go through extensive testing and trials to make sure that they are safe to administer and that the benefits greatly, greatly outweigh any risks associated. Mm-hmm. So,
and just to go back to a previous question, to be clear, because somebody's tweeting me about this already. The HPV vaccine, how long does it protect someone for?
Well, the idea is that it protects someone throughout the period of life where you'd be exposed to the vaccine. And that's usually, you know, from the onset of sexual activity in your teenage years and onwards through adulthood. The reason, for example, that the vaccine is recommended up until the age of 26 is because girls will likely have been exposed to the virus by the age of 26.
Yeah.
And so it's most effective during kind of adolescence and into young adulthood. But its protective kind of mechanism works into middle age, which is when, you know, a lot of people actually develop cervical cancer.
Given everything that's happening, you're a scientist, you're a doctor. Do you find it depressing that you're working in demonstrable facts, things that are proven, and it doesn't matter that that you and your peers prove things, that there are people out there saying, no, that's just not true?
Well, I think it's a bit disconcerting because obviously some things are more effective at changing public opinion than others. And I think it's a shame that scientific fact seems to be in some cases less effective at doing so. But at the same time, I would never want to alienate or belittle or dismiss the experiences of anyone with serious conditions. But in regards to the HPV vaccine, you know, I would just kind of stick to the scientific research and say that, you know, not to dismiss or deny that conditions appear, but that they are not related to the vaccine.
Mm-hmm. Another texter wants to know, can your guest clarify? Everyone says vaccines give you a small amount of the condition and this is how people have such bad reactions. But is this true or not?
Well, I mean, vaccines are themselves kind of a dormant form of the disease that you're trying to protect against. Mm. So in that sense, yes, but vaccines are not supposed to instill a full-blown infection. Like, that is not the point of vaccines. Obviously, a minuscule percentage of people will experience some reaction to the vaccine. But, you know, that is not the purpose, and that is certainly not the experience of the vast majority of people who get vaccines, whether it's the flu jab or anything else.
When will you be finished your PhD?
I'll be finished in 2019, all things going to plan. So,
wow, okay, long time. Yeah. Imogen, thanks, Mila, for coming in.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? GasNetworks.ie/movetogas.